didn't know when we were going to do the seniors, but I think this song is like the epitome of this should be our life's cry. Where you go, I'll go. Where you lead, I'll go. And that's it. That's it. That's the key. That's it. It's that simple. Father, where you lead, I'll go. What you say, I'll say. What you do, I'll do. That's the key, whether we're 2 or whether we're 80. That's it, Marty. Look what's happening because you said yes. It's just a yes. We make it so hard. We make it so hard. God, what's your will for my life? Just say yes. Just say yes. He's going to put seniors in your heart. He give you desires. He give you creativity that's different than anybody else. I can't tell you what you're going to do. Only you know that. But whatever God's put in you, don't be scared to do that. Don't be afraid to try that. Go for that. Seniors, if y'all come down. Y'all, this group I've known since they were born. It makes me feel really old that we're starting to marry off kids, the youth in our kids that were youth and youth and youth. When I was growing up, you hear school teachers, I taught your mother. Well, I'm that person now. I want you to come down here. I want you, Aubrey, this is kind of weird. Kinsley, you're over here. I'm sorry. This is good. This will work. I'll switch the Bibles in. I want him in the middle. Y'all can sit down for a minute. No, don't leave. No, that's good. These three and the others. Let me tell you, the media's going to try to tell us this youth is just going to hell in a handbasket. I'm telling you, we may be small in number, but we're mighty. We are mighty. These kids walk it. And I don't see them all the time now, but I know, I see their hearts. And I'm going to give you some examples just a minute. This one is busy and cheerleading. It's all the things in Harrelson County. And her countenance has remained beautiful throughout her high school. You can see a kid that's really good kid. And then I see her, and she's with my kids. She doesn't shy away. She opens her heart to the kids. This is a theme in all of these three. God showed me this thread through this group that was raised in church and raised to know the ways. And it's a heart of gold. That's what he told me. He's weaving in you a heart of gold that you all have it already. He's just weaving a tapestry of your life. And I watch you when... Let me tell you something. It's not just them. Alex and Molly Kate. Is that your name? Oh, you don't even know me. But let me tell you something about Molly Kate. I've watched her go across a whole gym of gymnastics and come to my granddaughters to encourage them. She doesn't know me, but I know her. I watch kids. I watch their hearts toward others. This generation has a heart of gold. They're not looking out for themselves like the media would have us to believe. They're not self-centered. They're looking out for others. And I see that in Aubrey. And Rylan. Look how much he's grown. I mean, I knew you guys when y'all were this little. And there's something you may not know about him. At South Paulding, he only gave up 3 goals. Am I right? That's right. Is that a record? That's got to be a record. They didn't say that was a record. They got to. His whole season this year, 3 goals. If you know soccer, that is huge. Look, just hold your arms up, though. All the way up, high up the ceiling. Look. That didn't hurt. That didn't hurt. But he can do that, and then he can go work with Caroline and Carol Kennedy. Just because he loves them. Just because Michaela takes him to spend the time with them. He's not some, oh, look at me. Look what I did. He has that heart to pour into others. That's rare. That's rare these days. And I see this one. See, she has Aaliyah's heart. That's what God told me. And I look at her and she cries. She loves fiercely. God told me you had a kindred heart, like Aaliyah, a kindred spirit. And you know how much I love Aaliyah. You're beautiful. Don't let the world tell any of you guys any different. You are beautiful and you are strong. And you love hard, each one of you. But you're not afraid to get down and get dirty with everybody, the little ones. And I love that. This one can get on a horse and not be afraid, or if she is, she doesn't show it. And because she's showing them how to do it. Showing them not to be afraid. She's leading by example in her walk. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing that God has woven into this generation. And it's, God gave me, when we're singing this song this morning, I said, Lord, what can I share? What do you want me to share? In Proverbs, boy, he takes me to Proverbs a lot. In Proverbs 3, it says, my child, if you truly want a long and satisfying life, nobody says, no, I want a bad life. Nobody says that. You know, we travel with every, even people in Honduras who can't, they're worrying about feeding their kids. They just want a good life. We all basically want the same things. It's we all want a good life. He tells us how. He doesn't tell us he's going to take away the bumps and the bruises in the roads. Because we've all, at my age, we've done some bumps and bruises in the road. But he promises the good, he'll be with us. It said, my child, if you truly want a long and satisfying life, never forget the things I've taught you. Follow closely every truth that I've given you. Then you will have a full, rewarding life. Hold on to loyal love and don't let go. And be faithful to all you've been taught. Let your life be shaped by integrity. Let your life be, that just means let your word be your word. Let your word be your word. That's how you find, let's say, let your life be shaped by integrity with truth written upon your heart. And I know you all three have truth written on your heart. That's how you will find favor and understanding with both God and men. You will gain the reputation of living life well. It's that extraordinary life that Sydney's been preaching on so much. Living life well. Trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on Him to guide you. He will guide you. Don't be fearful of what your future... When you finish this one step, it can be kind of daunting. Kind of, what am I going to do next? Just trust Him that He will let you say, Father, I don't know where to go. You show me. I promise He will. Trust in the Lord completely and don't rely on your own opinions. Rely on your heart. With all your heart, rely on Him to guide you, and He will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with Him in whatever you do. And He will lead you wherever you go. Don't think for a moment you know it all. That's when I usually would fall. I'm just telling you, when I had my worst mistakes is when I thought I'm going to do it. I know what I'm doing. And I didn't listen to Him. Or I didn't even ask Him. You know, have you done that? Don't even ask Him on something. Just think, I think I'm going to go this way. Everybody shake it. Yep, we've all done it. I said, don't think for a moment you know it all. For wisdom comes when you adore Him with undivided devotion. That's that wonder. Don't lose your wonder. Don't lose your wonder of the Lord. Then you will find the healing refreshment your body and spirit long for. Glorify God with everything, and He will give you all your desires. So when we were singing this song, I was like, this is where we need to stop, because this is where we all need to set our mark. What you say, Lord, I'll say. Where you tell me to go, Lord, I'll go. And He promises in our word, He'll be with us and never leave us or forsake us. But we as a church, we are so proud of you three. I mean, seriously, sincerely, all of you. You've grown up and you've led the way. And we appreciate you and we thank you for that.
Hey kiddos, can Rhett, will y'all slide down just a little bit? Where you grab your pocketbook and sit in front of Marty? No, this way. Yeah. Y'all pull up a seat right here, if y'all don't mind, you three. Yeah, y'all sit right here. Y'all can sit next to KK and the kids. Thank you. Y'all good? Y'all want to sit down for just a few minutes? I know y'all been up here for 2.5 hours. Y'all good? All right, I won't be long, I promise. Eric's like, yeah, right. You don't have to bring that, brother. I'm going to sit right here. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. Appreciate your honor. I've never done this before in 30-something years. But I was thinking and meditating about today and you guys and as graduates. And not just you three, but Noah graduated nursing school a few weeks ago. And so very proud of you. Got a lot of awards. I don't know the details because I'm not on social media, but Lori said, man, Noah killed it. And I said, well, it doesn't surprise me. But Noah graduated nursing school, and he's grown now. He's a grown man. He's been married for a while, but he's really grown now. Hannah House graduated. She's not here this morning, but Hannah House graduated Georgia Tech a couple weeks ago. So that's pretty good. You know, I couldn't even get through West Georgia, and she graduated from Tech, so I'm like, tip my hat. Don't hate Georgia fans, right? But anyway, I've never done this before, and I was thinking and meditating about today, and I'm like, all right, Lord, what do you want me to say? And y'all may do this in your schools. I don't know. I know they have done it at Bremen. I've still got Mary's on my phone, record Mary House where she did it on phone. But it's my senior letter to my freshman self. And what would I say to my freshman self? And today I want to, I don't use a ton of notes, and y'all know me, I don't read from notes much and all that, but I wrote down what I would say as a 62-year-old man, what I would say to my 18-year-old self, or my 22-year-old self, or my, she's probably doggone 19, she probably graduated in a year and a half, but that's what I would say to my younger self. That's what I'm going to tell you today. I wish that I had heard it when I was 18. It might have been said, but I didn't hear it. You know, the most used phrase that Jesus ever spoke in all of his sermons was, let he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. So today I pray you hear this, because I promise you it will help you live a full, abundant, happy, successful life. We're there, and it's almost in spite of a lot of stupid mistakes and not a great start with me, but we're there, and it's where God wants you guys to be, to where your life is full, your life is amazing, your life is a life that is significant. There's a river that I like to fish in Utah. It's the Strawberry River. And it's out in the middle of a high desert. And when you're driving out there to it, everything looks barren, everything looks bleak. It looks a lot like Moab. Any of you guys that have been to Moab or to Zion or Bryce, it looks a lot like that. Just with the rocks, and it's just a desert. But the place that we fish in this river, they call it the Oasis. You know, I'll talk to Curtis. I said, hey, where are we fishing today, man? He said, we're going to the O. And I know exactly where he's talking about. And the reason they call it the Oasis is because you're going through this high desert, and you're like, man, this is just barren. There's no water here, anything going on and all this. And then all of a sudden you come over this rise, and there's this little small valley in the middle of this desert, and there's a beautiful river running through the middle of it. And about 100 yards on each side of it is lush green. I mean, it's just lush. In the middle of a stark contrast, I'll say. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me in this, and he said, that's what I want your life to look like. That's what he wants your life to look like, is that you're an oasis. You're not dependent on how much rain we're getting, or the rainy season, or what the temperatures are, or any of these factors. They don't determine what it looks like, because it's fed by this beautiful river. And God wants you to be this oasis in a world that's full of stark contrast. That everybody's countenance isn't beautiful and amazing. Everybody's passion is not, doesn't match up to yours, or kindness, or whatever, the love that you have. And you can stand in stark contrast, and you can be a life in the middle of where there's not a lot of life, hope where there's not a lot of hope, peace where there's not any peace, calm where there's not any chaos, or where they're surrounded by chaos. That's oasis. And I feel like that's God's heart. That's God's design for all of us, for you guys, since we're addressing you today. So here goes. I'm gonna read you my letter to my 18-year-old self, Rylan. I promise you, when I was 18, I wasn't you. I was on the path because she was, her and God was reeling me in, and she was whipping me into shape. But I wasn't hearing. I didn't hear. The first thing that I would tell you is God is a good and loving Father, and His heart's for you. This beloved identity we've been talking about for years up here now, I know you've heard it echoed through Tyler and Ambry and Ariel, Rhett. God is for you. His heart is for you. His design is for you to be abundant and blessed, and to be that oasis, to be light, to be salt in a world that's in need. He's not angry, retributive, or vengeful toward His children. He is light and He is love. Everything in your life is built on this cornerstone. This is the foundation for your life, if you want your life to be everything that it could and should be. Christ is the cornerstone in that. And it's not just the fact that, oh yeah, okay, He's the cornerstone, I've read it in scriptures and all that. Everything in your life is built on that one premise, is that God is a good God. He loves me. His heart is for me. His design is for me. And He proves this. This is proven out by Jesus. His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection, His revealing of who the Father is. I mean, Jesus said, I came to show you exactly who my Father is, exactly who your Father is. And as I look in Jesus, man, I just see absolute, pure, and perfect love. Absolute and pure and perfect unity with the Father. Unity with His people He's doing life with. I see wholeness. And that's what He came to give us, to show us how to do and show us how to be, and to do union with us in that. So the first thing I would tell you is God is good and a loving Father. His heart is for you. Don't ever forget that. His heart is for you. Second thing I would tell you, I wrote, the kingdom is within you. The fullness of the Godhead is within you. That's what the scripture says. Life's experiences, this will be the third time Nick's heard this morning. Life's experiences don't define you, and they don't even shape you. They reveal you. Life's experiences reveal you. So often we think that He's molding us and shaping us and all of these things, and He is, but really what He's doing is He's removing everything that doesn't look like Him. We've all heard the story of the sculptor, and he's making this, whatever it is, an eagle or whatever you want to say, and he's like, what are you making? I'm making, let's say, an eagle. I'm making an eagle. Wow, you can see it. That must be really hard to make an eagle out of this. And he says, no, I just remove everything that doesn't look like an eagle. I just take away everything. And that's what God's doing in your life, if you will allow Him to. If you will yield and let Him, and just stay in life union with Him, He'll take away everything that doesn't look like an eagle. He'll take away everything that doesn't look like love, that doesn't look like mercy, that doesn't look like grace, that doesn't look like passion. He'll take all of these things away. You're equipped for the journey. You have everything you need to be successful in life. If you get an education, that's fine. But an education's not going to equip you like He will equip you. I'm not hating on college. It's fine. But a lot of people are like, man, I got to have this or I'm just going to be inadequate. You're already adequate. You're adequate to live a full life. You're adequate to be an amazing. I remember Errol when she went to college. It might have been her first. It was early in her career, her first year, I think. She had a professor that came in, and he says, he was asking the class, and he said, what are your goals? What do you want to be and achieve? And he was looking for some lofty stuff and all of this. And Errol said, I want to be a mother and a wife. That is my grand reach, to be a mother and a wife. Everything that else that comes along, that's fine. And of course, he scoffed and tried to ridicule her and all that stuff. I guarantee her life right now is more full, more rich, and more influential than his is. You have everything you need within you. You are equipped. Embrace it and be true to your uniqueness. Embrace and be true to your uniqueness. The Bible says that we're uniquely and wonderfully made. He tells Jeremiah that I shaped you and I formed you, and you're not like anybody else. Rylan, you're not like anybody else. And when I've been fortunate to get to see you play a few times in the last few years. We always try to make it out for the playoffs. That's when it gets fun, and intense and all that stuff. The thing that strikes me the most about you, and even down on the volleyball court and all of that stuff, your dad used to be like that too. Yeah, I really T-dub on that front line, talking smack and all that stuff. Remember those days? I couldn't jump much then. I sure can't. I'm like credit card now. But the thing that I see in you, Rylan, is as I watch you, is I see passion in you. I see that you're passionate about the sport, whatever you're engaged in. We saw Michaela like a week after your season was over, and she came to one of the kids' games, soccer games, and we were talking. Was like, oh, what's Rylan doing now and all this stuff? She said, he is playing tennis all the time. She's like, he's played like four times this week. She said, he thinks he's got to be doing something all the time. Support. It wasn't a cut, it was a compliment. And I'm like, that's passion. You know who put that passion in you? He did. A passion for life, a passion to compete, a passion to push yourself. Be true to that, man. Don't let the world come in and try to conform you, because they will. I've used this phrase before, and I don't know if it fits, but it does in my world. Don't let the world homogenize you, because they will. Stay true to that passion. Everything, it will so serve you well, because you'll be passionate towards your wife, you'll be passionate towards your kids, you're going to be passionate toward your whatever your callings are in kingdom living and all that. You're going to be passionate, and that's attractive to the world. The world looks to that. The world wants to follow that. So embrace and be true to your uniqueness. All of you, be true to your uniqueness, because God made you amazing. God made you beautiful. That's not preacher speak. That's reality. That's reality. My wife sees it. I see her kids, man, my grandkids, they look up to you guys. Zaylin comes to watch you play. He ain't watching the Strikers. He's watching Rylan. Yeah, I'll follow the game, but that's it. Dude, Rylan got yellow carded. That's all right. I like it, man. I like it. I like the passion. That's why he created you. Don't let anything castrate that away from you. Okay? I don't mean to focus on one person, but that just jumps out at me every time I see you just competing in anything. And Michaela's talking about that. I said, I can see that. Yeah. I can see that. I said, he don't have to play doubles. He can cover the whole court with his wingspan, right? The third thing I would say to myself, I just got a couple more and we'll be through. I wish somebody had told me that my life story is powerful. It's unique because it's mine. the scripture that has been messing with me so much lately is the book of 1 John. Because in 1 John, I see, you know, John's the beloved. He's the one that putting his head on Jesus' breast. Close intimacy. He's the one that ran to the tomb. He's the one that saw the Lord on the seashore and said, "It's the Lord," and Peter jumped in. He was in this intimate place with the Lord. Matthew and Luke, and I'm not hating on Matthew and Luke, they have their own unique story. But you read their gospels, and they're starting out, man, and they're talking about genealogies and all of this. So-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so. And you go and you read 1 John, and you see it in the gospel that he wrote. And he comes in, and he says, "I know him. We touched him. We heard his words. We felt his breath. I know him because I've been with him." And it is intensely personal. And that's the power of your life story. None of us have an exact same life story. Everybody's has this difference and this uniqueness and all of this. And if I could tell myself, my 18-year-old self, it would be don't try to live somebody else's story. Don't try to be anybody else. Be okay with who you are. Because I was a little redneck kid that grew up and went to Harrelson County. And I'd rather hunt and fish than do anything. You know? I mean, I'm the poster child for that. I was. I still am. A little more refined, but I still am. But coming up, the society says, well, you need to be like this, and you need to be like this, and you need to be like this, and all of that. They will try to define you. They will try to put you in a box. They'll try to label you. They'll try to do all of these things. Don't let them do it. Because your story is intensely personal. Don't even try to walk out my story. Don't try to walk out your mom's story or Lori's story. Don't try to walk that out. Walk out your story. Because God has got this amazing journey for you. This amazing journey. And I'm going to close with some scripture in just a second. And it's going. I hope it really strengthens that. I know you've heard me read it a lot, but I pray that y'all really hear it today. Your story is amazing because it's yours. The word said that they overcame by two things. What? The power of the blood and the word of their testimony, or the word of their story. That's how they overcame. So don't wish your story was somebody else's story. I put in here, I don't just walk through life with Lori, but I walk through life with God. We're hand in hand. We're inseparable. But I walk through it with him. He still shows up for the walk. And that's the beauty of this thing, is he still wants to show up with the walk for you. We grew up here and, oh, God can't look on sin and all of this stuff. Well, I find it funny that when Adam sinned, what's the first thing God did? Went looking for him. And we say, man, I've got failures, I've got mistakes. You're going to make some mistakes, guys. We made mistakes. You're going to make some mistakes. But I know this, when you make the mistakes, he still shows up for the walk. You can be in a season of mistakes and he still shows up for the walk. That's the beauty of your story. Adam's like, man, I blew it. And you know what? He showed up the next day. He said, man, where you at? I'm here for our walk. I got to get these back on. Make your story great, or what makes your story great is going to be the depth of relationship that you have with him. I can be at a table we go to hunting and fishing lodges a good bit, and most of it's communal dining, and we'll sit down and everybody there is successful or they wouldn't be there. But what separates us from many of them is because where we have walked with God. We were in New Zealand a few weeks ago, and we were at one of these tables, and we were talking with some people, and after a couple evenings of dinner conference, I never tell them I'm a pastor, never, because they look at you different and all of that. But conversation always leads to kingdom living. And so we were down there a couple weeks ago, and we were having dinner at this fishing lodge, and one of the ladies, her and her husband are from Southern California. She had like 6 kids. They're successful in business and all this stuff. She finally looked at me and Lauren. She said, "Okay, are y'all pastors?" And we're like, "Yeah, actually we are." And there was something unique that separated us from other people at the table. And it's because of our walk and our union and our relationship with Christ. I don't know if Lori told y'all, y'all gonna love this. We ran into, there was one lady, and we hadn't been talking to her 10 minutes, 15 minutes most. Somehow Honduras came up, and that we go to Honduras, and we've got friends that are down there all the time, and our kids and our grandkids go, and all of this stuff. She pulls a $100 bill out of her pocket, you know, because we said our grandkids are going in a few weeks. Pulls a $100 bill out of her pocket and gives it to Lori and says, "Here, for the youth trip." She said, "Give this to the kids to help on the youth trip." There's a thing that will separate you from the world, and it's the light in you, and that light is your relationship with Christ. That's what makes your story great. I can tell people other people's story, and I love to do so. I tell y'all's story a lot, because I find that people find common ground in people that are willing to help and serve in third world countries. Y'all are the bait. Y'all don't know it, but y'all are the bait. We use y'all for bait all the time. And then once they get sucked in, then you can hook them in talking about Jesus. Because who doesn't want to help kids in a third world country? But I can't live their story. I can use their story. I can appreciate their story. I can honor their story. But I have to live my story. And it's powerful. Know that it's powerful, guys. Two more. Y'all good? Y'all good? Okay. The third thing I would tell myself as an 18-year-old is don't look to the world for approval. Jesus says the unbelieving world will hate you because they hated him. That's what he says in John. He said the unbelieving world's going to hate you. Don't let your happiness and your fulfillment be on how many people are following you on Instagram or how many likes you get. Or I don't know if y'all still do Instagram. I'm way old school. But I know there's this huge need for the world to accept you and applaud you and embrace you. But don't look to the world for that. Don't let the world label you, put you in a box, or limit your dreams. Don't let celebrities or society be your moral compass. I'll say that again. Don't let celebrities or society be your moral compass. I don't care what LeBron thinks. I sure as heck don't care what Taylor Swift thinks. They're not my moral compass. They're not your moral compass. You know what my moral compass is? Him and the Holy Spirit living inside of me and his beautiful love letter that he gave us in the Word. Their value system is almost always in opposition to his. Almost always. I just use those two as an example because a lot of people vote just on how they vote. I'm like, how stupid could you be? But anyway, don't let them be your moral compass. The fourth thing, this is huge. Take the scriptures personal and make them your own. The Bible, the Old Testament, and the New Testament is a story about Jesus. It's all about Jesus, but it's a letter written to you. Aubrey, it's a letter written to you. Kinsley, Isaiah 60, 61, and 62, scriptures that Lori and I made very, very personal years ago. And we say those scriptures are to us. They're to us. But you know what? They're a love letter to you also. The promises in them are promises to you. The promises in them are promises to your children. The promises to them, I know it's hard to imagine. That's my grandchildren right there. Those same promises are to KK and Eden and Caroline. Take this personal because it's written to you. It's a love letter to you. And that's something I failed to do when I was young. I believed the Bible. I put, heck, what I grew up in, not talking about my family, but the churches that I grew up in, it was almost, we worshiped the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible. But we put it up on this iconic pedestal over here, and it was something that you just had to slave to try to satisfy. Would that be a safe thing to say, Marty? Something we were a slave to try to satisfy? But you know what became a game changer for me? When I realized and understood that this was a love letter written to me. It's a love letter written to me. And you know what a love letter does? Y'all ever got love letters? People write letters anymore? They don't. I used to write Lori love letters. I know it sounds corny, but dude, it scored so much. I mean, it was... But it was from my heart. I'd have a gap in classes and I'd sit in my little Firebird and I'd write her a love letter. I saw her every day, but I'd write her love letters. And I would just like spill my heart onto that. But when I got out of college and got off work and I went to her house, she didn't sit in a corner and just read the letter and worship the letter and say, this letter is awesome. And I'm sitting over here and say, yoo-hoo. The letter didn't become the end result. You know what the letter did? It led her to me. It led her to me. It led her to me. She read the letter and she didn't want to hug the letter and kiss the letter and all that. Be like, oh, this letter. You know what it did? It made her hug me. It made her kiss me. What I'm saying, y'all following what I'm talking about on this? Don't worship the Bible. Worship the one that the Bible's about. It's a love letter to bring you into Jesus. It's a love letter to bring you into Christ. And in that, it's intensely personal. I didn't have love letters that I wrote to five different girls. Wrote them to her. Intensely personal. She knew, this is mine. This will come alive to you. Sometimes do y'all struggle with this coming alive? I mean, be honest. I do. Or used to, really. Be like, okay, it's... Especially if you're reading like Deuteronomy and Leviticus and stuff like that. You're like, oh, man. I can read 1 John and just get on fire, but when I made this intensely personal, it became alive. When this became his love letter to me, it became alive. Hey, Isaac, letters work, man. Try it sometime. I had to kid Isaac some. Just found out a few weeks ago, Isaac's got a little girl. Well, maybe he don't. I don't know. You still got a girlfriend? Yeah? Okay. I'm embarrassing the mess out of him. Isaac's my man. Isaac takes care of our household when we're gone. Is she here this morning? Wait. That, awesome. I'm a big fan. I'm serious. Isaac is stinking awesome. I'll go ahead and plug for him right now. I'll stump for him right now. He is awesome. He is an awesome dude. If my granddaughters were older, it'd be arranged marriage. Where was I at? Whoa, we're closing up. He ain't never going to take care of my house again. Sorry, Sid, I'm busy. All right, this one builds on the others. This is the last one, I promise, but this is significant. Learn to hear and distinguish His voice. We talked about making the Bible very personal. That's what I would tell my 18-year-old self. Let the Bible be personal. Learn to hear and distinguish His voice. I put God speaks many languages. Sometimes it's the language of beauty. Sometimes it's the language of love. Sometimes it's the language of peace. Sometimes it's the language of hope. Sometimes the language of joy. Your heart will translate them to your understanding. He wants to reveal Himself to you in everything. He wants to reveal Himself to you in everything. And He wants to speak to you. And I mean like Aubrey, I mean like speak to you. Doesn't have to be an audible voice in English. You can be in nature. You can be... so many places, so many ways. But He wants to speak. Deep calls out unto deep. That's where it's intensely personal. It's not just, oh, He speaks to Pastor Sid or James or, you know, Nick or whoever. But He speaks to you. He speaks. He wants to, and He will. He already is speaking. You just may not hear it yet. But He wants to speak to you. He wants to carry on intimate conversations. I put in, yes, sometimes He speaks English. He is always speaking to us. He is always speaking to us. Some of the most significant things that have ever happened in our life is because we heard the Lord speak just a clear word to us. You know, you say, well, was it audible? I don't know. It almost seems like it was. I've had some clear words. Sit in a parking lot in a car about to go into church services in South Carolina, and the Lord just out of the blue, and I'm like, whoa, okay. Say things that wasn't even happening yet, but in His world, it really in my world, it already was happening. Learn to hear and distinguish His voice. It's huge. Man, it's huge. I can hear her voice by her body language. Because we've been together for 40-something years. I can hear her voice by her body language. She didn't have to say anything. It's a look. Sometimes it might be the stank eye, whatever, but I hear her voice by her body language. And you will learn to hear the voice of God by His body language. And He'll speak to your heart. Everything I'm talking about this morning is to draw you into a place of personal life union walk with the Lord. And I think you guys, y'all have that now. But it only gets deeper and it only gets better. A note I put on my desk pad at work every month. It says, "Let God will determine the scope of your life, but you determine the depth of your life." Let God determine the scope of your life, but you determine the depth of your life. I want to finish up in reading some scripture to you guys. This scripture's been rocking my world lately. It's a psalm that David wrote. It's Psalm 139. Casey, if you can put that on the board up there for me. Yeah, all right. This is about you. Not just David. Not just me. This is about you. Rylan, this is about you. Aubrey, this is about you. Look at the words. Let he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul. And you understand my every thought before it even enters my mind. Not scary sometimes, but he still shows up for the walk. Man, you know what I thought last week? I had lustful thoughts or thoughts of anger or whatever. He still shows up for the walk. He still shows up for the walk. You are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book. And you know all the words I'm about to speak before I even start a sentence. You know every step I will take before my journey even begins. I love this next verse. It's underlined, it's highlighted, and star behind it. You've gone into my future to prepare the way. And in kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. Wow. People worry about the future and they freak out about the future and the what ifs and is this going to happen? Is this going to happen? He's already there. He is already been there. He's already there. He said, I've gone to prepare you a place. Personally, I don't think that scripture is just talking about heaven. I've gone to prepare you a place. He's already there. He's already gone there. So don't have fear. Don't have worry. Don't have anxiety. What is my future going to look like? It's okay. He's already there. But you don't know my mistakes, my sins, the junk that I've done. It's all right. He's already looped back to your past. What do y'all think the pillar of fire and the cloud for the children of Israel in the desert were a type of? It's a type of Jesus. Y'all remember that story? He'd be a cloud that leads them, and when the enemy's coming, he'd loop back behind them. That's how much he cares about you. You have laid your hand on me. On me. Not on y'all. Not on them. Not even on us. On me. You've laid your hand on me. This is just too wonderful, deep, and incomprehensible. Your understanding of me brings me wonder and strength. Jumps down in verse 13. I'm going to skip a few verses. You formed my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside. There's a delicate. He gives us a tenderness. The thing I love about John is a tenderness. Delicate and intricate. So detailed. And I wove them all together in my mother's, and you wove them all together in my mother's womb. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. I love the fact that we're complex. That we can be tough when we need to be tough and cry at the drop of a hat. Don't ever lose that. Because you need it all. You need it all. It simply amazes me to think about it, how thoroughly you know me, Lord. He says, you saw who you created me to be before I became me. God has already seen your 35-year-old self and your 55-year-old self and your spouse and your kids and your grandkids. It's already been there. He's already there waiting for you on this life journey. It's a beautiful thing about him being omniscient and omnipresent. Before I'd even seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. Every single moment you are thinking of me. How precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought. That's intensely personal. That's intensely personal. Oh God, your desires toward me are more than the grains of sand on every shore. And then in verse 24 it says, see if there is any path of pain I'm walking on, and lead me back to your glorious everlasting way, the path that brings me back to you. So in tying all this up, if I could say anything to my 18-year-old self that I wish I heard then, that I hear now and know now, is that it's personal. We always hear that. It's not personal, it's just business. It's not personal, everything's personal. It's personal. It's personal with Him. It's personal with Him. And He wants to come into this place with you. In this, I don't know if everybody's got the same relationship with the Lord I got, but man, it is amazing. And I pray that you can say the same thing, and you can say the same thing, and you can say the same thing. Me and Chris Bridges kid each other all the time, say, man, I'm sorry, it was, you know, stinks for you, but I'm his favorite. People's like, which is your favorite daughter? And of course, Errol will say, duh, but it's the one I'm with. Which is your favorite grandchild? The one I'm with. Eden was my favorite this morning at 8 o'clock when we were eating breakfast together. And that's the cool thing about it, is He's with you. He's with you. So walk through this in a place of confidence, in a place of peace, in a place of hope, knowing that He is love, and His heart is for you. Don't ever forget that. I don't care what the noise says. He's good, and His heart's for you. His heart is for you. Of all the billions of people on the planet, Aubrey, buddy, His heart's for you. Amen. Amen. Amber, you good? You going tonight? You got anything you want to say or do right now? I mean, I'm great. Tyler, come on now, brother.
Sid stole like 90% of the stuff I was going to say. But that's completely fine. Actually, Lori started stealing everything. And I was like, all right, well, that's fine. If y'all come tonight, you'll hear some version of this too. But we're in this really fun place with you guys right now where, for all of us on the outside, we get to see, you know, everything's been expected of y'all for so long. We know you're going to get up, you're going to go to school, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And right now for us, we're in this exciting point of now it's up to you guys of what you do. It's up to you and what you step into. You didn't really have a whole lot of choice before. I mean, your parents are probably going to make you go to school, do all those things. So for us, that's exciting because I've watched a lot of people come before you guys and see what they're turning into now and see the choices they're making in life and they're walking. And it's super fun for us. For you guys, that might be scary. That might be like Sid was talking about. You may be anxious about that. Of everything's been laid out before me and I know where my path is and it's easy. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to worry about it. So now you might. Now there might be anxiety. Now there might be something that's coming in of, well, shoot, what do I do? And this was what we're going to talk about tonight. In John 14, the disciples, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. He's getting ready to go die, and He's trying to, you know, push out everything He can, drop so many words of wisdom on the disciples before He leaves. And He talks to them about, hey, I'm about to leave. I'm about to go, but I'm going to send a helper. I'm going to send an advocate. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who's going to come live on the inside of you. That's going to lead you into all truth. And then later on in 16, He talks about when, in John 16, when tribulations come. So we're going to flip-flop that word of worry or anxiety about the future. Circumstances, whatever comes, Jesus says, peace be with you, don't be afraid. I've already overcome the world. And so I just want to encourage you guys. We'll go way deeper tonight in it. But as you're unsure. As with me, when I was in college, I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing after college. I didn't know till my senior year. I had no clue what life was going to look like. I just knew the right thing. I was supposed to go to college. I was supposed to graduate with a degree. Something would work out. I came and worked one day with Sid over at Leaf Ab back then. I was like, nope, I don't want to do that. No offense, but he had me sweeping floors, so that was different. But I had no idea. And I just took peace in knowing that that helper is here, that he says, I have plans for you, plans to prosper you. Like Sid was saying, he knows what your future holds. It's up to you to give up that control and say, Holy Spirit, lead me into that. Lead me into all truth. What does truth look like for how I'm going to make a mark for you on this world? So I want to encourage you guys, don't stress about figuring it all out right now. Just relinquish control. Be led by the Holy Spirit. He is here to lead you into all truth. And we're excited. We're excited to see where that's going to go.
Just stay right here. Guys, y'all stand up and come on down. Well, I want to pray over these guys. I mean, it's just kind of what we do, right? Y'all can come right here. Y'all come. Yep, stand up. Come on down, body. Parents, y'all come on down here. Yeah, y'all. Where's my oil? I'm coming back. Don't worry. You are beautiful. I'm not talking about surface. You're a pretty girl, but I'm not talking about surface. You're beautiful. You are stunning to him. He thinks you're stunning. He does. It's like, have you seen my bride? I'll buy the field just so I can get that treasure. And here's the beauty. The word tells us in Colossians that he placed that treasure within us. See, that's what makes you beautiful, is you have the beauty of heaven within you. Saint Macho, man, but you are beautiful to him. You're stunning to him. I don't know what the girls think, but you're stunning to him. Because the kingdom of heaven, the riches, his glory. He tells us. Jesus said this in John 17. He said, the glory that the Father gave me, I give to you. You have the same glory in you that Jesus had. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Don't be afraid to be lifted up. And I don't mean that in vainglory or pride or anything like that. I'm talking about your story, your life. Because it already is amazing. It's going to be even more amazing. It's beautiful. It's attractive. In Isaiah, it says it's going to be so attractive that the nations will be drawn to you. We've seen it our whole lives. The anointing is attractive. The anointing is attractive. You're anointed by his presence. You're anointed by his love. Esther was the fairest in the king's household because the king chose her. There might have been some girls that had more physical beauty than her. But she was chosen by the king. The beautiful thing is she was chosen by God before she was ever chosen by the earthly king. Daniel was beautiful. All the other sharp jokers that were in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, it said none of them could hold a light to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were exalted because of that. Don't ever let anybody or anything or any circumstance tell you any different. Don't let the world cheapen it. Don't let the world cheapen it. Don't let the world cheapen it. Because he gave up the glory in heaven for it. He shed his blood for it. I'm marrying all this in together. Who you are is directly tied to the cross. Who you are is directly tied to Pentecost. And it all goes back to his love for you. Okay? Normally, I would just anoint your forehead and declare you're anointed of the Lord and all that. Let me see your hand. You anoint yourself in knowing that you're the anointed of the Lord. You're called, you're chosen, you're redeemed for purpose. Every day when you get up, you adorn yourself in His righteousness. Okay? Every Sunday morning when I come in, I go over in the side room. First thing I do is I get oil and I anoint myself. It's symbolic, but it's true. In your life, man, you're the anointed of the Lord. Anoint yourself. Adorn yourself with that. Adorn yourself with Him. And it'll look amazing. It'll look amazing. It'll look strong and it'll look tender. It'll look wise and it'll look vulnerable. But it's draped in Him. Make it personal, Aubrey. Make it personal. Anoint yourself as His bride. As His bride. That's who you are. Amen. Let's just come in. Y'all lay hands on these guys. Y'all come on in. T-Dub, y'all come on in, man. Come on in, Michaela. You love your brat girl. You know how much that girl loves you? Good gosh, that girl. And sometimes she may be rough, but she loves you. I don't mean rough toward us, but, you know, I don't know how y'all claw, scratch, or whatever, but she is passionate about her brother. Be thankful for that. Be thankful for that. She's got your back. You got his back. I wish I'd told you that. I wish I'd have preached this sermon when you were 18. I mean, you're doing good, and I'm proud of you. I really am. But today was for you too, sweetie. Because you're stunning to Him. Every time you interact with my grandchildren, you're stunning to Him. He said, look at that. You're going to be an amazing mother. You're going to be an amazing mother. Oh, man. Y'all lay hands on these folks. I'm going to lay hands on Michaela. Father, I lift up these three seniors this morning that we're honoring today. And I thank you for them. I thank you for this milestone in their life and then into the what's next. But the fabric that you were weaving in them that Lori was talking about, it's you. And I thank you for that. I pray that this life journey would be beautiful. It would be amazing. It would be into the unknown and into the unsafe. But they boldly go there because of who they are in you. I pray that they would hear your voice, learn to hear your voice, and they would see your vision for their life, and that they would settle for nothing less than that. They would settle for nothing less than that. Lord, I declare that over them. I release faith in them to walk this out in life union with you, Lord. I pray they would show up for the walk every day because I know you will. I pray they would adorn themselves with you and in you because I know you will adorn them. Lord, just let them feel and receive our love today. Feel and receive your love today. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. In his name we put all of our trust, all of our hope, all of our confidence. Amen and amen. Yes. We got, we all always give y'all Bibles. Kinsley's empty. What's up? You got a beef with Ariel. Lori's like, Kinsley's box empty. I said, Ariel's got it figured out. So somebody did. Somebody said it was empty. You knew that. All right, guys. Everybody good? Our joy in life is to know and experience him. I pray today that everybody knows and experiences him. Amen. Thank you, worship team. You guys are beasts. Y'all like stand up for like 4 hours. So appreciate you guys. Y'all are amazing. Sorry, Isaac. I'll make it up to you somehow. Or you might need to make it up to me, man. I was singing your praises, right? Y'all have an amazing week. Hey, everybody listen. It's important now. The youth are leaving Saturday. Several of the youth are leaving Saturday to go to Honduras with the Tollesons. Marty and them are leaving Tuesday. Y'all lift them up in your prayers that they may just have a... I pray y'all would swing for the fences. Swing for the fences and knock it out of the park this week. That worship is going to flow out of y'all and it is going to be so ridiculously good. I pray that the words that you speak, Brett, the words that you speak, I've heard you preach at a bonfire before. I told Lori, I said, that's in that boy. He don't even know it's in him. I pray the words you speak this week will just be amazing. Not that they'll be like, whoa, who is this? But they'll be like, oh my gosh, I need to get in the presence of God because I'm in the presence of his spirit. So just speak, it just flows out of you. And it flows out of you guys, man. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. Thank you for hosting and facilitating. Y'all are awesome. Thank you for letting me use y'all's story all the time. Like I say, y'all my bait. So y'all have a great week. See everybody next Sunday.